Not yet. I want you to taste this.
I've been so busy watching his abs and arms, I didn't even notice that he's taken the covers off our plates and put a bite of food on a fork for me to taste.
Open up.
He slides the fork in my mouth, and buttered lobster melts on my tongue. Oh, hell, that's so good, I say.
Good. Let's get comfortable and eat.
Jesus, how can I eat with him in the bed naked? He's such a distraction. He shimmies up to the headboard and leans back against it, and all I want to do is stare at the lean curves and dips of his firm body. I follow his actions and find myself against the headboard, next to him, with a plate in my naked lap. The lobster is grilled and so tender. I can't believe he did all this. Did you cook this? His brows shoot up to the heavens.
No, I ordered it because I knew if I tried, I'd ruin it.
It's the best thing I've ever eaten.
I can't say the same.
But now the food has captured my attention, so I miss his innuendo. No? Then why did you order it?
Because I love it, and I remember you saying one time that you did too.
But if it's not the best thing.
No, you are, Kate.
Me, I say, around my mouth full of lobster.
Oh, yeah. You by a landslide.
Swallowing my bite is so difficult, I'm afraid I'm gonna choke. Grabbing my champagne, I take a huge gulp, hoping to help my issue, but I only end up making it worse. When my coughing subsides, I chide him. Don't ever say things like that to me again when I have my mouth full.
What if it's me your mouth is full with?
Well, that's okay, I suppose. I notice his plate is nearly empty, so I move it aside, along with mine, and I climb onto his lap. Thank you for all of this. It's truly beautiful and very unexpected. I've never had such a wonderful dinner, and in bed, no less.
I would hope not.
You know what I mean, and you should know I haven't.
I do, and I was teasing.
The flowers are gorgeous, too. He brushes my hair off my neck and presses a kiss to it.
They all have meaning, but I'll let you look that up later. Right now, I have something else in mind.
I touch his bottom lip with my index finger. Oh, and what might that be?
This.
He flips me over and kisses me. Later that night, we use the entire can of whipped cream doing all sorts of things. Drew says he planned it out for dessert. I think he just likes whipped cream and wants to see what it looks like on Louise. I have to confess, I like the way it tastes on his cock, especially with the strawberry on the end. I think I scared Drew when he thought I was going to bite the tip of him by accident. In the end, a shower was necessary, because after the whipped cream, we ventured into Drew's freezer and got into the ice cream, too. I can only say that ice cream is fun, particularly on the nipples. In the morning, I Googled all the flowers Drew had selected for the arrangement, which was so heavy I had to use both hands to carry it. The red thornless roses mean love. White lilies mean virginity, and it's heavenly to be with you. Calla lilies signify beauty. White carnations indicate pure love. Orchids represent love and beauty. And the meaning behind the tulips nearly brings me to tears. There are red ones, which symbolize a declaration of love. The variegated ones mean beautiful eyes. And the yellow ones suggest there is sunshine in my eyes. Tulips in general also represent the perfect lover. The fact that he went through all this trouble to select these flowers tells me more than the flowers themselves. Drew, this is so beautiful. I never knew any of this.
I only wanted you to have something that showed my true feelings for you.
They're perfect.
Flowers are perfection and should be enjoyed. I'm glad you appreciate them, because I intend for you to enjoy them often, Kate.
Just one more reason to love Drew McKnight. Our 6 blissful days together pass like light speed, and I find myself seated next to him for the flight home to Charleston. A rush of happiness steals over me. The angst I had over spending time with him was all for nothing. We were great together, like peas and carrots, as Forrest Gump would say. Now I'm dreading the stay at my parents' house for a week until I can get back to Drew's.
Oh, God, I moan.
What?
The idea of staying at my parents' house just plowed into me.
That bad, huh?
You know how nutty they are. I love them to pieces, but... Drew chuckles.
There's always that but.
Just wait. You didn't get the full impact at Thanksgiving, but you will. Trust me.
Never lose sight of the fact that they love you, Kate.
His face is all kinds of serious. You never have a bad thing to say about anyone. You are the kindest person in the world. Probably the universe.
I doubt that.
No, I'm serious. I've never heard you say a bad word about anyone. I don't think you have it in your nature. How do you do it?
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
His eyes are sincere when he says it. Let me give you an example, then. Take my family, for instance. My parents, bless their hearts, mean well, and I love them. But my dad is the world's biggest hypochondriac and drives me nuts with all his incurable ailments that are a figment of his imagination. You would sit there and listen to him patiently and ease his mind, while I, on the other hand, would brush him off and tell him nothing's wrong with him. That's what I mean. You have that way about you, and you don't think ill of others. There's only kindness in your heart.
Oh, Kate, I don't know. I think you see something that's not there.
Nope, I disagree. I've seen it with you many times. You don't have a mean bone in your body, Drew McKnight. You are too good for this world. And that's the truth. I think you were sent here to make the world a better place. He slants his head, and those intense blues of his pin me right before his lips meet mine.
I think you were sent to make my world a better place, Kate Forbes.
His fingers weave with mine, and we huddle together in our seats as our plane takes off.
I think this is going to be my best Christmas ever,
he says. Mine too. Our parents are at the baggage claim waiting for us when we land. Drew's parents know all about his feelings toward me. I haven't exactly been wide open with mine. It's not because I don't want to. It's just that my family isn't like that. We're not all huggy-kissy like some families are. So I've decided to tell my mom over the holidays. But when it's time to part ways in the parking lot, Drew grabs me and lays a major kiss on me in front of everyone. And since it's Drew, I do what I always do, turn into a boneless heap right there in his arms. I become oblivious to the fact that two sets of parents are witnessing this. When he finally ends the kiss, and mind you, I really don't want him to, he tells me in front of everyone,
"See you tomorrow, sweet thing, and I love you more than hockey."
Without blinking an eye, I respond, "More than hockey?"
"More than anything."
And he lays another monstrous kiss on me. "I love you too." Then I turn around and see the parents. Oh, shit. His are grinning from ear to ear, and mine have their mouths hanging open, jaws on the asphalt. So what do I do? What any girl in my shoes would do. I grab my parents by their arms and say, "Come on, Mom and Dad, let's go home. See you tomorrow, Letty and Ray." I give them all a little wave, and we walk to my parents' car.
"You're in love?"
my mom asks.
"That boy loves you?"
my dad asks. "Yes, now come on. Why didn't you say something?" mom asks. "I was gonna tell you when I got home, but Drew beat me to the punch." Then I'm met with silence. Neither of them utters a word until we pull into the driveway and the garage door is going up. It's my mom who speaks first, laughing. "Well, you could have done a lot worse." And then my dad says,
"And a doctor. Just what I need. Did you pick him for me?"
"Yeah, Dad, just for you."
"What kind of a doctor is he?"
Dad asks. "He's gonna be an oncologist, you know, a cancer specialist."
"A cancer specialist? Why would he want to do that?"
Mom asks, horrified. "Because it's his calling, Mom. That's what drives him."
"But they all die."
"They do not all die. What century are you living in? They've made amazing strides in cancer therapies, and Drew loves helping patients. Besides, it's his career, not yours."
"Well, I don't see why he can't be a doctor that does happy things."
"Mom, he is a doctor that does happy things. How do you think the families of his patients feel when he cures them? I don't think they feel sad, do you?
No, but that doesn't happen all the time.
All doctors have to treat life-threatening illnesses, not just oncologists. And I think we need to drop this subject because it's not our choice anyway.
I need to shut her down, or this will go on and on for hours. She'll beat a dead horse into the ground if you let her.
My dad finally sticks his 2 cents in and says,
"Well, I'm just glad to have a doctor in the house."
And I'm sure he is. Or Drew. By Christmas Eve, I'm ready to dive headfirst into the bottle of vodka and swim my way to oblivion. Drew only laughs at my complaints because when he visits, my parents, other than my dad and his unusual medical questions, are on their best behavior. I did have to pull my dad aside yesterday and warn him about getting into a discussion with Drew about his hemorrhoids. He kept bringing them up at breakfast, the perfect time to talk about them. So I told him if he even dared mention them, I would leave and never return home. He clamped his mouth shut, and that was that. Thank God he hasn't mentioned them to Drew yet, or at least I don't think he has. So has Dad hit you up on all his ailments? A rumble of laughter shakes from Drew.
Only a few.
What? What has he asked you? I warned him. My scowl is fierce.
Calm down there, oh feisty one. It's okay. I don't mind, and I'm not sharing what we discussed.
Why not?
It's private, that's why. Now let's talk about you.
He traps me against his chest, and soon I'm lost in one of his kisses. But then I remember we're at my parents' house, and I start to push him away.
What's wrong?
We can't do this here. A hiss.
I'm only kissing you.
I know, but we don't do public displays of affection in the Forbes family.
Is that a fact? Well, guess what?
What? He runs a finger under my chin and whispers against my lips.
That's about to change, sweet Kate.
Then he captures my mouth in another kiss, and I give up the fight. I really don't care anymore. I'm in love with this man, so why should I? He's respectable and has nothing but good intentions toward me, and we're both adults. To hell with it. I feel him chuckling. Pulling back, I look at him with narrowed eyes. What's so funny?
Not a thing. I'm just happy you see things my way.
As I get ready to plant another kiss on him, Shannon busts in the room, all giddy because Drew is here. She's a different person around him. Hi, Drew. Are you staying for dinner?
No, actually. Kate is coming to my place for dinner with my family.
Why can't you eat with us? She pouts. Shannon, Drew's family has their big Christmas celebration on Christmas Eve, so I'm going there with him to celebrate. She has the nerve to flash me a nasty look, like I'm a piece of dirt not worthy of her time. Drew catches it and is not happy. What happens next is a shining moment for me.
Hey, kiddo, do you have a problem with me or your sister coming over to my house?
She shakes her head.
Then maybe you should apologize to her.
Shannon wilts like a flower in the middle of the August heat. She looks at Drew with her big puppy eyes and says, I'm sorry.
Don't apologize to me. It's Kate who deserves the apology.
Then, to my absolute shock, Shannon turns to me and says, I'm sorry, Kate, I didn't really mean it. I want to say, yes, you did, you little brat, but I don't. I nod and smile instead. Shannon flashes me her perfect little grin that she uses on Mom and Dad all the time and turns it on Drew. In a voice dipped in sugar, she asks, So, Drew, will we get to see you tomorrow then?
Yeah, I'll be here for dinner.
You will? Can I sit next to you? Oh, God. Not only do I have to worry about my hypochondriac dad, I now have my sister crushing after him, too.
I think you need to check with your mom on that.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that right now, she says as she skips out of the room. Shaking my head, I say, And the drama never ends in the Forbes household.
She is a bit much, isn't she?
Yeah, and my parents do nothing to contain that mess. It's ridiculous the disrespect she shows them, too. Eric is fine, at least for now. All he knows and cares about are sports. My worry is that one day he'll wake up and it'll be other things, and Mom and Dad will be oblivious to it. but Shannon sure responded to you.
It's only because she thinks I'm cool. One day I'll be a pain in her ass, and I'll have no effect at all.
Hey, I'll take what I can get when I can get it.
Does that include another kiss?
He laughs. Pressing my hand against his chest to stop him, I ask, what time do we need to be at your house? I don't want to be late.
We're fine.
He skims his lips over mine right as my mom walks into the room. Oh, Drew, before you leave, I wanted to let you know that dinner tomorrow will be at 3. She's told him twice already. Thanks, Mom, I think he's got it.
I'll be here before then, Mrs. Forbes. I can't stand to be away from my girl that long.
My mother actually blushes. For the love of God, will someone just help me here? Then she gushes. Aw, that's so sweet, Drew. Now it's my turn to blush because I'm embarrassed for my mother. Okay, Mom, we've got to go now. I'll be back later. Clamping my fingers around Drew's bicep, I literally drag him out of the house. As we're leaving, I hear Drew calling out,
see you tomorrow, Mrs. Forbes.
Flying into his car, I slam the door closed before he has the chance. He gets in and says,
I think this is becoming a habit here.
Oh, God, my mother acting like an adolescent. No, just no.
She wasn't that bad.
Yes, she was. She batted her eyelashes at you. Do you have this effect on all women? Drew is backing the car up, but at my question, he puts the car back in park, turns to me and says,
Kate, I don't care about the effect I have on all women. I only care about the effect I have on you.
My heart seriously falls to pieces and liquefies into one big giant puddle of goo. I unbuckle my seatbelt and fly across the console straight into his arms. This is only one of the many reasons why I love you, Drew McKnight.
Well, hell, if I'd have known that was all it took to get you to fall for me, I would have told you that a long time ago.
His blue eyes twinkle, and we both end up laughing.
Now, are you going to get back over to your seat and buckle up so we can go to my parents, or are we going to sit in your driveway and make out like a couple of teenagers and entertain your family again?
I climb back into my seat and say, I'd like nothing better than to make out, but there's no way I'm letting my family in for that show.
Maybe I'll have to sneak you up to my room later tonight and pretend I'm showing you something like I used to in high school.
Oh, is that how you worked it?
Yeah, but my parents monitored my time, so I'd have to be quick.
I'm sure you were. Then I start thinking about it. I bet you had a ton of girlfriends in high school. A tease. I bet they were all over you, like ants on honey. He shrugs and says,
I had my share of them. Except for a few, they were actually more bothersome than anything else.
Knowing Drew, he was probably too kind to tell them to get lost. So, did you have a special one?
Not really. I went out with Jilly Rivers probably the most. But other than that, just, you know.
Yeah, I know.
What about you, Kate?
I shake my head. None for me. I was the one that had all the guy friends, but I didn't go out with any of them. I was too busy with school, too. He gives me a quick glance, and then his eyes are back on the road.
That's very hard for me to believe. I have this vivid image of dozens of hormone-driven boys knocking your door down, trying to get to you.
That's a good one, but far from the truth. About this time, we pull into his parents' driveway.
Oh no, Aunt Edna beat us here. I was hoping we'd get here first.
His descriptions of her have me so intrigued, I can't wait to meet this woman.
I swear, Kate, don't be shocked or surprised by anything that comes out of the woman's mouth.
Drew, look who you're talking to. I had to warn my dad not to bring up his hemorrhoids to you, and my sister drools in your presence, not to mention my mother's eyelash batting. I live in the House of Loons.
Oh, wait, you haven't seen Looney yet.
And he's right. Aunt Edna sits in a chair, and I do a double take of what she wears. It takes me a while to figure it out, but I think she's taken Christmas placemats and sewn them together to create a vest. Each one depicts a different scene, so she's quite the holiday image. She also wears a baseball hat encrusted in red and green sequins and other sparkly things. Under the hat, her hair pokes out in various curls here and there, creating the old, I just stuck my finger in an electrical outlet look. Red pants and black boots, similar to what Santa Claus would wear, complete her ensemble. No doubt, Aunt Edna certainly has the Christmas spirit. The only things missing are ornaments and lights. I'm truly speechless. Drew and I have decided to exchange gifts privately, but I've brought a gift for his parents. It's nothing fancy, but a lovely picture frame. Those are something everyone can use, so after discussing it with Drew, we both decided to give the same thing to each of our families. During the exchange, they are very gracious when they open it. Then Letty opens Aunt Edna's gift to her, and Drew pinches my thigh.
Check it out.
Inside the box is something that may resemble a purse. I'm not sure. It looks like it might have been a Clorox bottle at one time, but it was cut and holes were punched into it, and then red and green yarn was woven into it to create the purse effect. It's so hideous, I have to cover my mouth to prevent the snort that threatens to explode out of me. Drew leans over and whispers in my ear,
"What the actual fuck is that?"
That's my undoing. I bend in half and try to cover up my snort with a cough.
"Kate, are you all right?"
Drew asks. He damn sure knows what's wrong with me. He grabs me and hauls me out of there to the kitchen, where I proceed to die laughing.
"Oh my God, that was the worst she's ever given, I swear,"
he says. A response isn't possible as I gasp for air. When I'm capable of pulling air into my lungs, I say, "I've never. That was awful. She reminds me of Aunt Bethany in the movie Christmas Vacation. Are you sure she doesn't have a cat wrapped up in a box somewhere?" He starts to laugh again and says,
"It wouldn't surprise me. Maybe I should check the house. Didn't I warn you? A new kind of crazy, right?"
"True, but don't ever whisper again. That's when I lost it." We rejoin the family, me with a glass of water in hand. Drew's parents eye us as his mom winks. We share one of those looks and continue with the opening of the gifts. Ray's gift isn't quite as bad. Aunt Edna gives him one of those gigantic inflatable block pillows you use for flying. You're supposed to put it on your lap and rest your head on it during the flight. The only problem is, you look like an absolute dork if you do. Now it's Drew's turn. He unwraps his box, and inside is a huge pair of Playtex yellow cleaning gloves. He's clueless until Aunt Edna pipes in. "I heard how important it is for you doctors to keep your hands clean, so I thought these would come in handy for you when you examine your patients." This time, I shake as I hold my laughter inside. I don't dare look at Drew as he thanks his aunt, but I can tell how his voice squeaks he's about to lose it. Just when I think we're done, I look to see a box under my nose. "And here's one for you, dear," Aunt Edna says as she wobbles back to her seat. "Shit. Why, thank you, but you didn't have to."
"Aw, just open it."
So I do, and inside is a hand-knitted scarf by what looks like a kindergartner. It's the thought that counts, Kate. Unfortunately, the colors are horrific. Red, green, purple, orange, rust, a blend of clashing shades. It pains my eyes to look at it. "Oh, it's so lovely. Thank you so much for thinking of me."
"Why, you're welcome."
I lay the thing on my lap and hear Drew snicker, so I don't dare look at him. But as I'm staring at the scarf, I notice something else. It's literally covered in cat hair, and I mean layered in it. Now I really want to laugh, but I can't. So I put the thing back in the box and fold my hands in my lap.
"Well, I think it's time for some holiday cheer,"
Ray announces.
"I'll drink to that,"
Aunt Edna declares, and the celebration begins. Others begin to arrive, cousins and aunts and uncles, and I lose track. By the time all are present, there are a total of 24 here. Everyone brings a covered dish, as is the Southern tradition, and Letty handles all the meat dishes and desserts, along with the bar items. It's quite an affair. When the dinner is over and the relatives have gone, Jenna and her brother Ben show up. I haven't seen Ben since the party where Drew first laid eyes on me. Ben man-hugs Drew and says,
"Glad you two hit it off so well. Like there was ever any doubt?"
Drew asks.
You were so damn persistent about it. Did he tell you, Kate?
Yeah, he did. So did Jenna.
He drove me crazy for a while. I didn't know what I was going to do if you hadn't gone out with him. We don't have to worry about that now, do we?
Drew asks, pulling me to his side. I glance up to see Drew looking down at me, grinning.
We certainly don't,
Ben says.
And I'm happy to say you two look perfect together.
That seems odd coming from Ben. I wonder if Jenna told him to say that. But when I look at her, she's staring at Ben, looking like she just swallowed a glass full of vinegar. Ben Rhodes, when have you ever said anything like that to anyone? Jenna asks.
Probably never. I'm a dick when it comes to this sort of thing. But Drew is my best friend, and I happen to know how he feels about Kate. I'm happy he found her, and that she makes him happy, and it's about damn time.
I look on as Drew says,
Thanks, dude. That means a lot to me. I would have told you over the phone, but I knew I was going to see you here, so I decided to wait. And besides, I wanted to actually see you before I said it. I've known Kate almost as long as I've known you, so I have to say.
And he does this funny thing with his hand that I think is supposed to imitate a religious blessing.
I bless this relationship.
Drew tosses an empty plastic cup at him.
You're off the ledge, dude.
Nah, I'm trying to be serious here. I am glad you two are together.
And bro, Kate here is so much better than Rebecca.
Fuck, did you have to spoil the night by bringing that up?
That surprises even me. Rebecca is Drew's old girlfriend, the one that broke his heart. Jenna told me all about her and that Ben hated her. I look at Jenna and she's trying to mask her grin. What's so funny about that? I think it's kind of tasteless. Then I look at Drew, and a slow grin spreads across his face. Okay, I'm completely off the trail here, lost in the woods, I say. Drew throws his arm over my shoulders.
Ben always hated Rebecca. I defended her constantly. But then, when I figured out he was right, I was... Well, you know the story. I told you at the beginning when we started dating. What I find funny here is I never thought I'd wave the whole Rebecca thing away. And now, here I am with you, and I could totally give a shit about her. That's why I'm smiling, and I figure it's why they are, too. She was always a touchy subject around me, but not anymore.
I beam at his words. Drew always knows exactly what to say to make me smile. Our conversation moves to how long Drew is in town, to how long I'll be in Indy, to when we can all get together again. Soon they depart, and it's only Drew and me. I want to curl up next to him somewhere, but it's getting late, and I know I need to be getting home soon.
Yeah, I know,
he says, reading my mind.
Weren't we going to exchange gifts tonight?
Yeah. Do you want to do it now?
Hell yeah, but I have to go to my room. You want to come?
Is this the deal where you tell your parents you have to show me something?
You bet it is.
Then I'm in. There's a bag I brought in, and I snag it before we run up the stairs and go into his room. He shuts the door behind us. His hands slide under my skirt and glide along my thighs as he follows it up to my unders.
Kate, I need you. I've been thinking about this constantly.
What if someone hears? I don't think I can. I bite my lip, worrying as anxiety gnaws at me.
I know, we can't. We'll have to live frustrated for a while, and I hate this.
So do I. Maybe we can do car sex again?
Yeah, but tonight, I want to give you your gift.
He walks to his closet and comes out with a ginormous gift bag.
Merry Christmas, babe. I love you.
I love you too, and thank you.
Open it.
I spread the top of the bag apart, and inside there are several things. First, I see a big box, so I pull it out, unwrap it, and laugh. Oh my goodness, will you help me?
All the way.
Good, because if I put these skates on, I'm sure to bust my ass like crazy.
Kate, I'll always catch you if you fall.
His blue eyes catch mine, and I know he's not talking about that kind of falling. Drew, I won't let you fall either. We're in this together, you know. He leans in and kisses me.
There's more in there.
My hands dig down, and I pull out another fairly large box. I unwrap the most luxurious bathrobe known to man. On one side is soft terry, and on the other side is silk. Oh my, this is amazing. I love it.
You do? I noticed you didn't have one.
I do now, and I absolutely love it. It's perfect, thank you. I lean over and kiss him.
One more and you're done.
I fumble in the bottom and find the last box. When I pull it up, I know it's jewelry. I give him the, I can't believe you did this face. He shrugs.
Just open it,
he says. When I do, I fall in love all over again. It's an exquisite necklace, very delicate gold filigree surrounding a center diamond. The design is simple yet elegant, and I couldn't love it any more than I do.
Kate, don't cry. It's only a necklace.
My fingers fly to my cheeks because I hadn't even realized tears were falling. Now that's a surprise, I say, brushing them away.
The necklace or the tears?
Both, I guess. Drew, this is gorgeous. I love it.
Let me put it on you.
He takes it out of the box and puts it around my neck.
Perfect,
he says. Then he pulls me to my feet and walks me to a mirror.
See?
It's beautiful. I've never owned anything like this. It's so pretty. Thank you for everything. And I kiss him. Now for yours. I hand him a prettily wrapped box. I hope he likes it. It's not as extravagant as what he gave me, but everyone I spoke with told me to go with it. My fingers are crossed. He unwraps it, and I watch his expression change from perplexed to pure excitement and joy.
You didn't. You scored Blackhawk tickets.
I did. For the week I'll be with you. He stands and pulls me off my feet, twirling me around, and then he stops, puts me down, and rubs his face. Stop worrying. You don't have call that night. I got it all cleared, and you're off.
What?
You heard me. Look on your computer and check the schedule if you don't believe me. You're good. We're going, and the rest of your present includes, if you didn't read it.
I did. A hotel and dinner that night. Kate, it's too much for you.
This is the tricky part. I screw up my face and say, I know, I was going to go Havers with you.
That's perfect.
But Drew, I feel terrible because you got me so much, and I was only able to get you.
Stop that train of thought. I love your idea, and the Black Hawk tickets are perfect. It's the best gift ever. Now kiss me.
Right before I do, I say, Merry Christmas. Chapter 17, Past. The week at my parents' without Drew feels more like a month. Without him here as a buffer, my mom is relentless with her questions. How long have you dated? How serious are you two? I know you're in love, but are you going to get married? You have to finish college. Don't think about dropping out. Seriously, Mom? Like I would actually drop out of college and forgo my degrees after all this hard work. What does she think I am, a moron? My flight back to Indy finally lands, and Drew waits by the luggage claim. To say I throw myself at him is a gross understatement. I think I hear one or two get a room comments. And it's true. We practically make out while we wait for my bag to arrive. Once it does, we smile at the onlookers, and Drew says in a booming voice,
Let's get a room.
I can't help but giggle. In the car, we can't keep our hands to ourselves. This was the never-ending week, I say.
Yeah?
I had Mom, Dad, and Shannon on my back constantly. Eric was the only one who was fun because we played video games together. Then I crazy missed you. You know that part, though. His hand makes its way up to the button and zipper of my jeans, and his fingers find their way inside. Please don't start something you can't finish.
What makes you think I can't finish?
He asks as he slides his finger around me. I can't talk while you do that. My head drops back against the seat, and I mule when his finger circles my clit and slides inside of me.
Wow, are you ever wet? Were you thinking about this on the plane?
Might have been. Just don't stop because I'm close already. I hear him chuckle. Then he says,
"Touch me, Kate."
My hand reaches over the console and I touch him. His erection is not hard to miss. "Looks like you've been thinking of this too." He hits a spot that's perfect, then intensifies his motion. "Don't stop. Right there, I'm gonna come." And about then, I feel my orgasm race along my spine, down into my arches of my feet, back up my legs, and center in my core, until it spreads back up my spine and finally settles down. The tiny muscles inside of me stop clenching Drew's fingers, and I sigh.
"That was nice to hear,"
he says. "Yeah?"
"Uh-huh."
Then I reach across and unzip his pants. "Promise you won't get in a wreck?" He offers me a shaky laugh.
"I'll do my best."
I lower my mouth around his cock and proceed to suck him off. The best thing about giving Drew head is the sounds he makes. They are the biggest turn-on ever. Oh, that and the way he threads his hands in my hair, and the way he feels against my tongue, like velvet wrapped around steel.
"I'm gonna come."
I keep sucking, and then I squeeze his balls and his orgasm hits him. The groan he releases is enough to make me moan. When I lift my head, he apologizes for shooting off in my mouth, and I laugh. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I loved it. I love sucking your cock. It's super sexy.
"It's sexy to watch, but I was afraid if I did, we'd wreck."
I zip him back up and say, "Then I'm glad you didn't." We spend New Year's Eve quietly at home, catching up on what went on in Charleston after he left. And of course, we do other things too. New Year's Day is celebrated by eating the traditional Southern meal of ham and collards, and I make homemade macaroni and cheese. We eat way too much, and I fall asleep on the couch watching football. It's Drew's choice, but I don't mind. Midweek, we're off to Chicago to the Blackhawks game. Drew is so excited, I have to drive. All the way there, he spouts off Blackhawks stats and who the greatest players are. I'm sure I'll never remember any of this. He has his GPS set, and I'm glad for it, because I've never driven in Chicago before. The traffic isn't too bad, as far as big cities go. It may be because we left at noon to check into the hotel early and spend a little time in the city. In any case, Drew doesn't pay a whole lot of attention because his focus is all on hockey now. When I pull up to the hotel, he's surprised that we've stopped. "We're here," I announce. The expression on his face is so comical, I immediately start laughing. "What were you expecting? Mars?"
"No, but it went by so fast."
He looks like such a little boy. I ruffle his hair and shake my head. "Let's go check in, hockey boy." He wears a goofy grin and I smile. His eyes are bright with excitement and he looks like he wants to leap ahead of me. "Go on and run ahead if you want."
"I can't help it."
"Hey, this is your day, your gift. Go for it." And I'm more than pleased to see how much fun he's having. Suddenly he stops and turns, pulls me in his arms and says,
"Have I told you how much I love you today?"
"I believe so."
"Well, I'm telling you again."
Then he plants a kiss on my lips, and my excited Drew is back again. We get to the front desk, and he bounces on his toes as he waits for the room key. As soon as we stash our bags, we're off. It's a blustery day with the wind coming off the lake, but we're prepared with coats, hats, and gloves as we walk to all the cool places to see in the little bit of time we have. Drew drags me down Michigan Avenue to all the shops and tries to buy me things, which I won't let him. Then we stop in for a mocha at a coffee shop. Soon it's time to grab dinner. We eat at one of Chicago's famous steakhouses, Gene and Giorgetti's. He gets the bone-in ribeye, and I get the filet mignon. The food is beyond delicious. He, of course, orders the wine, which is some sort of Cabernet Sauvignon, and it's so yummy, I want to lick the bottle. But the place is pricey. Really pricey. And I can't keep thinking about it.
"Kate, I can afford this. You don't have to worry about it."
I lean into him and whisper, "It's so high, I never thought." He takes my hands in his and squeezes them.
"It's fine. Cost is not a problem here. Can I share something that may make you feel a little better?"
Okay. I have a trust fund. My mom is, well, her family is wealthy. Money isn't a problem for me. I don't want you to worry away the enjoyment of this meal, okay?
But the whole point of this is it's my gift to you.
Babe, the thought means more than anything, and those tickets, and the fact that you arranged for me to have the time off, well, that's better than anything. The cost of this is nothing compared to that. Please get this off your mind. I want this to be fun for you.
Okay, but I want you to know that just because you have some trust fund doesn't mean I don't pull my weight.
Deal. Now drink up. We're here to celebrate.
And the rest of the meal is much better now that I don't have to worry about paying for it with my tuition money. When we leave there, we head straight to United Center. I almost have to restrain Drew. He's been here before, but it's like a shrine for him. When he walks in, he does a 360 to have a look. Then when we get to our seats, he about freaks.
Seriously? How did you know to get these seats? Most first-time buyers would go for low and center.
Yeah, I checked with Sam and Caroline on that. I wanted to make sure.
I knew my girlfriend was smart.
Not me, Sam. He told me corner seats because if I got center ones, they'd obscure the corners of the ice on the side we'd be sitting on. It's what Caroline and I complain about all the time. So now I know. They really are awesome seats. They're lower level, but high enough to give us a great view. And the greatest thing of all is they're right on the curve of the rink. He grabs my hand, and we walk down the row to take our seats. Drew's thigh thumps up and down, the thrill of being here palpable. I wish I could bottle it up and sell it. I'd be a millionaire. He's so damn adorable like this. Not that he's not adorable all the time, but this little boy thing has me in a constant grin. The game begins, and Drew immediately is into it. Every now and then, he leans into me to explain something or to tell me about his favorite players. But honestly, I don't listen to a word he says. I'm so charmed by his elation. I glance at the ice just to make him happy, but my eyes are pretty much glued to him the entire time. It's these special times that make my heart race, like when he flies out of his seat, yelling for his team with his arms raised. That's when I feast my eyes on that slice of skin that peeks out beneath his sweater, and I lick my lips in anticipation of later tonight when I can nibble on his delicious abs. And it's when, even during the thrill of the moment, he bends down and plants a wet, warm kiss on my lips. I notice all the women around eyeing him, and that's when it happens. My heart swells so much it almost hurts. Pride nearly gushes out of me because that's what I'm feeling. I am so proud Drew loves me. Out of all the women he could have chosen, he picked me, the one who never thought she'd fall in love. And I'm so proud of the fact that he's such a good-hearted man. He can't say a bad word about anyone because of the kind and compassionate nature of his soul. I'm so proud he's so given of himself. And even in the midst of my crazy family, he says kind things about them. But most important of all, I'm proud and honored to call Drew McKnight mine. He turns at that very second, catches my look, tilts his head, and asks,
"What?"
"Nothing."
"Oh, it's something. The look on your face tells me so."
Pulling him toward me, I confess, "I'm proud and honored to call you mine." Chapter 18, Present. What feels like a lifetime of memories flashes before me as Andy stands there with his hand held out to me. The remembrance of budding love, the sorrow of cancer, a faceless foe, even the crook of a smile for hockey hose antics, and back to that painful day of my leaving. As the moments pass, I blink back tears and say nothing about the hefty guilt that hovers in the background. As Andy waits for me, I feel a tear slip through my barrier. It spills down my cheek as I raise my hand to take his. I want this man more than I've been prepared to admit. I let the pain of the past wash away with the tear as it drops from my face and crystallizes on the ice that is beneath my feet. He takes his thumb and gently wipes away the residue of long-ago hurt. Then, I'm pulled forward, feeling unsteady and worried about the future. His hand feels solid in mine, and I know I have to trust him with my heart, if only I can trust myself. My momentum pushes him backward to smoothly glide over the ice. I'm carried along, wobbly at first, until he's there to steady me. His earnest eyes haven't left me once, and I'm in awe of the emotions I see churning in them. The blue is as clear as the daytime sky and shines through the night that surrounds us. I'm romanced by how he is bringing me out of my own darkness through his guiding light.
I remember the first time I saw you.
His voice breaks into my tumbling thoughts.
You had no idea I saw you. I remember thinking, that's a woman I can see spending the rest of my life with.
I smile up at him. How could you know that? He hooks his hands in my coat pockets and draws me closer.
Mom told me when I met the one, I would know. And Dad backed her up. Corny, but they've been married for over 50 years. It's hard not to trust their advice.
He doesn't back down from my challenging stare, and I become undone by his sincerity. I bury my face in his chest as he takes the lead in our lover's embrace. We skate, facing each other across the expanse of the ice, and he makes me feel safe in his capable hands. His words are soft when he speaks again.
I know we can make this work, Kate, if you let me.
How on earth can something so right be so difficult? I pull back as he slows us to a stop. Honestly, I'm surprised you did this. I glance around and wonder what woman has had a man rent out a rink for a private event. It has to be one of the most romantic things ever. I was so sure you'd given up on me. His tentative smile sobers to a pensive line.
There were times I wanted to.
He confesses before a lingering pause. When he speaks again, his voice lightens some from his somber tone.
I had to remember there are some things in life worth fighting for, and you, Kate, are one of those. I want you. You have to know that by now, but I can't promise I'll chase you forever. I do have some pride left.
His admission is almost honest to a fault, which is why I know I can trust it. I don't know what to say.
Say you won't run. Say you're in this as much as I am. Say you want me the same way as I want you.
The determined expression on his face causes a V to form between his brows. He's in this for keeps, and it's time for me to make that leap of faith. When I took your hand and came out here, I decided I wouldn't run anymore. I want this. I want you. He raises my hand and twirls me. I'm not an expert skater, but in his arms, I feel like I can do anything. I spin, but lose my footing, and we fall in spectacular fashion. The sky above Washington, D.C. is too bright with man-made lighting to have a clear view of the stars. As we lie there, I imagine what they look like.
Are you gonna get up?
I laugh. I thought maybe we should stay down and make snow angels. It might be safer. His chuckle comes from somewhere deep in his chest. Before I can think more about it, he's there cupping my face and pressing soft, warm lips to mine. I'm reminded again how good it can be between us. Then he stands up before me and offers a hand up.
Come on, Snow Princess. There will be time for snow angels later. We should go skiing soon.
Reluctantly, I'm up on my feet again. As we begin to skate side by side, I notice the dull heartache in my chest hasn't completely left. Yet for once, I feel as though I can breathe through it. The magic of the night imprints on my brain as much as my heart. Lights that circle the rink, along with the holiday decorations, twinkle and add a sort of enchanted quality to our nighttime skate under the hidden stars. Even without a full-skirted dress and glass slippers, this man makes me feel like I stepped into a fairy tale. The night only ends because the guy comes to tell us he has to close up for the night. I find myself smiling uncontrollably when we change back into our shoes.
Someone's in a good mood.
Only because I'm one lucky girl. I'm still floating on the drive home. He turns off the engine after he finds a park on the other side of the street.
Let me walk you up.
I have no intention of letting this man leave tonight, but I only nod. We get out, and I do my best to dodge the dirty gray snow that is yet to melt from the last storm. He takes my hand in his, and we enter my apartment building as a unit, an unbreakable couple, or so I hope. When we get to my door, I turn to ask him in. Before I can speak, he twines our fingers together.
I had a great night.
My jaw drops because he sounds like he's actually going to leave. Then a sinful smirk appears on his mouth right before he dips his head and covers my lips with his. At first, the gentle pressure is sweet. After one taste of him, everything changes. I reach up and tangle my fingers in his hair, trying to bring him closer. His hands land on my waist under my coat as I explore every inch of his mouth. When his grip tightens, I feel cool air on skin as my shirt lifts. He takes advantage, and I feel his fingertips glide across my bare skin, under my shirt, and around to the small of my back. I'm breathing so hard when I pull back and say, "Please stay tonight." He stares at me a second before he captures my mouth in a hot tangle of emotions. Then he strips the keys from my other hand that dangle at my side. Quickly, the door opens at my back. His hand steadies me as we step inside with tandem precision, without a breath between us. As the door closes behind us, I let my purse fall. He takes a step back to heatedly glance over me. I decide to give him more of a view, so I let my coat fall to pool at my feet. I kick it aside as he takes his own coat off with more care. He blindly places it on the high kitchen counter behind him that separates the kitchen from the tiny living room. Then he steps into me and cups my chin possessively to expose my neck. He places a hot trail of kisses down toward my shoulder as I try to remain standing. When he reaches my collarbone, his hands shift. He lifts his head and his eyes are focused on me. He slowly pushes my sweater up while his hands roam over my ribcage and then over my breasts, which instantly feel heavier. Once my bra is fully exposed, he latches onto my nipple through the thin fabric while continuing to skim the sweater up my arms. When it reaches my wrist, he holds my arms there to stretch over my head as I feel myself grow wet with need. "Please," I beg for everything and nothing at the same time. His hot mouth releases my breast as he slowly faces me. His lips are but a whisper from my own.
"What, Kate? What do you want from me?"
I squirm, trying to close my legs tight enough to create the pressure I seek between my thighs. His next move shows he knows what I want. His free hand cups me through the fabric of my pants, and the heel of his palm presses against my nub, just hard enough to make me needier, but not yet fulfilled. "Andy," I breathe. Instantly, his hand is gone and I groan in frustration.
"Tell me what you want, sweet kid."
"I want you."
"I know that,"
he says confidently. His words, or maybe his voice, ratchets up my desire for him.
"Be specific, Kate."
"Make love to me." He moves in and sucks my lower lip into his mouth. He gently bites it before releasing it with a quiet pop.
"I'm afraid I can't make love to you, Kate."
I'm devastated because he sounds serious. Only his hand is back. This time he uses his thumb to circle my clit before pressing it hard. I cry out as Louise begins to fire on all cylinders. Like a sadist, he pulls back just before the final countdown has ended.
"Why?"
I ask in frustration. His answer comes when his deft hand undoes my pants. It takes a second before they tangle at my ankles. I feel trapped. It should frighten me. But just like how he took me on the balcony turned me on, I am ready and willing to be at his mercy. Still, I kick the pants to the side. He still hasn't answered me, even though my heavy lids droop as I voicelessly plead with him. His hand is back, and I'm not sure whether I should be embarrassed as his fingers press my damp thong against my hot skin. I don't have time to explore those thoughts. His skilled fingers easily slip the fabric barrier to the side as he shoves two fingers inside me.
You're wet for me.
Yes, always. I admit it, hoping for points so he gives me what I want. I buck my hips against his thrust, ready to do anything if he would just let me come. The build-up to my orgasm is quicker now because I've yet to spill over the edge. I want to curse him when he pulls them out before I can find release. Please, I plead again. He groans and presses me into the wall with the full weight of his body. I feel his erection grind into me, but only once. Then his body stills.
I can't, Kate. I can't make love to you.
Confused to the point of exasperation, I whine. I don't understand. Why can't you? His hips rub against mine again. It's maddening when I know he wants me as much as I want him. I try to pull against his restraining hand at my wrist because I know if I can touch him, I can change his mind. He puts some space between us, and I arch my back, trying to keep contact with his lower half. Only he pushes me back into the wall with a firm hand on my center as he guides my bottom to meet the wall. I moan as his touch lights a fire in me. Again, he removes his hand, but I'm encouraged by the sound of him undoing his belt.
I can't make love to you, Kate, because I have to fuck you first.
I don't have time to process his words. He releases my wrist, and he spins me around to face the wall. Then he lines himself up to rub against the cleft of my ass. I drop my hands to reach back and touch him, only he snags my wrist.
No touching. Not yet.
He takes my other wrist and uses what feels like the leather of his belt to bind me as my cheek presses against the cool wall. It feels wicked, and the desire in me intensifies. I've never done this before, but I feel safe with him. I know he won't hurt me. He takes my shoulders and turns me to face him before he steps back to admire his handiwork.
God, Kate, you're so damn beautiful.
He kisses me hard, and I writhe, waiting for him to make his next move.
You're not afraid, are you?
I shake my head, unable to form words.
Good, because I'm gonna fuck you now.
His thumbs slip underneath the hem of his boxer briefs. As he tugs them down, his impressive erection springs free like a divining rod. He steps forward and lifts me with remarkable strength, using the wall like an elevator shaft. Up I go, my arms pinned between me and the wall. When I stop, I feel his tip at my entrance.
I want you bare, Kate. I've never been with anyone else skin to skin. I want no barriers between us.
Yes, please. I haven't been with anyone else since you. His grin is anything but sweet. It's sinful. Then he lets gravity pull me down around him. My back pulls away from the wall as my body bows from the contact.
Fuck,
he growls. I voice my pleasure with mules and other nonsensical words. Managing to hold me up with one arm, he uses the other to take hold of my head and angle me for a kiss. His tongue penetrates my mouth just as impressively as he fucks me mercilessly against the wall. I'm sure I'll have bruises in the morning, and I don't care. Taking me by surprise, he pulls out and sets me on my feet, only to turn me around. With a hand pressed to my shoulder, he bends me over a little before he enters me again with striking force. I'd bang my head against the wall if not for his hand holding my hips steady. I feel off balance, but the pleasure is beginning to eclipse anything else as my brain clouds, clearing any coherent thoughts. He slips his hand around my waist and applies pressure to my clit. His other hand grabs my breast and tweaks my nipple. His shift in movement allows him to go deeper inside me at a different angle. It touches something inside that sends me shooting off like a bottle rocket. I explode and scream out my pleasure. He's relentless. The sound of our flesh slapping against each other is enough to start another orgasm building within me on the heels of the last.
Kate, baby, are you close?
I hear his words, but I'm in another place and can only moan in response. He squeezes my breast before his hand comes around to my ass. His fingers circles a place I thought off limits.
Oh, what are you doing?
You like that?
He prods a finger at my back door entrance and stokes his other fingers over my clit in a circular motion.
I want to have you there eventually.
He continues to stroke, prod, and otherwise rock my world when he asks a different question.
Are you still on the pill?
I nod frantically as he continues to ring my G-bell with each stroke.
Good. I'm coming.
His words are enough to get me to detonate again as he slams into me. My toes curl against the floorboards as I try to maintain my position and not fall. A few more banging thrusts, and he stills inside me. He presses his head to my back before he brings us both to a standing position. My bound hands stop my back from fully meeting his chest, but I don't complain. Soft lips skim up my neck until he whispers in my ear,
I will never get enough of you.
The hand that isn't cupping my breast manages to undo the belt restraint from my wrists. When my arms fall free, he turns me to face him so he can take each of my wrists and rub them gently as the blood circulates. Then he kisses each one.
Are you okay?
I bob my head once, having no idea how I managed to stay on my feet as long as I have on rubbery legs. Finally, I begin to fall to my knees, ready to give up the fight with gravity. He's there to catch me under my legs to lift me up. I'm languidly limp in his arms, sated and satisfied. It feels as though I'm floating as he cradles me in his arms. He walks me all the way to my bedroom to carefully lay me on the bed. He places a chaste kiss to my forehead.
Wait here.
I want to tell him I couldn't move if I wanted to, but I lack the energy to say the words. When he comes back, he cleans me up with a damp washcloth. My eyes are heavy with sleep.
You can have a little rest, but I'm not done with you.
His warm arms wrap me in their embrace, and I snuggle into the curve of his body as drowsiness descends. I feel amazing as I slip into sleep. Sometime later, I'm awakened when his cock fills me again as we lie on our sides. I'm a little sore, but say nothing as he slowly slides in and out of me in an unhurried rhythm. I'm pretty sure he hasn't come, even though I have, when he pulls out and raises my leg. He moves to lay his face on my thigh.